Backstage-Pässe für alle Freunde?
Auf deinem eigenen Festival.
Jetzt im Euro-Jackpot. Rund 74 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. Mit Euro-Jackpot. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern. Nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18. Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bjuk.de.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure: startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.
They come for the eyes first. They know they can tear us apart, eat any organ they wish. But it's the eyes they go for first. See, they know that the eyes are the soft bits. Everything else will last for longer once we die. But the eyes are on the surface, and they dry out. That's why they devour them first, while we're still conscious. We're powerless against them, chained to the damp floor as they run towards us. You can feel their small bodies slither across you, and all you can do is scream when they sink their pointed, suctioning mouths into your eye sockets and rip the eyeballs free from your skull. It's horrible. And the worst part was that I had to watch it all first. There were three of us in the little room when I woke up. All of us were stripped except for our underwear, and each of us was strapped down with chains bolted into the floor. All I could do at first was twist my head, which ached like hell from side to side. I didn't see much. It was dark in the room I woke up in, and other than a man on the other side of me, the room was bare of anything else. Pipes connected into the walls and the roof, and I could hear water dripping somewhere distant. I think we were in a sewer. I heard the guy on my right groan out, and I turned to face him. He was older, maybe in his late 50s, with graying hair and a scraggly beard. He turned his head almost immediately towards me, and our eyes locked. I saw the same fear reflected in his green irises that were probably in mine. "What? Where are we?" he gasped out, uselessly trying to push against the chains. Before I could answer, the man to my left spoke up. "It's useless trying to get free," he whispered, and would have been barely audible if his voice hadn't echoed in the empty room. "I've tried it already while you two were still out, but there was no way to get free. Whoever put us here, they want a good show." "What the hell do you mean?" I shot back, turning to face him. He was younger than the other man, maybe in his early 30s. His skin was a dark caramel and his head was shaved bald. And there was a hard look to him that made me want to take back the bite in my words. Maybe it was the muscles I could see rippling against the chains. "Look up to the right. They're watching us." I glanced over to where he indicated, and sure enough, I saw a tiny, blinking red light. My eyes adjusted to the shadows after a few moments, and the outline of a security camera came into focus in the dark. "Where are we?" the man to my right repeated again, but this time the fight had drained out of his voice.
"And who are you two?"
"No idea," the man on my left replied. "My name's Edwin, though. I work in construction, and I went to sleep in my apartment like normal last night. I woke up here. No idea how." "I'm Colton," I added after a few moments' pause. "I have an office job downtown and..." I trailed off as I fought to remember the last few moments before everything had blacked out, and the memories eventually came back along with my headache. "I think I was jumped walking back to my car. It was late and dark, and I wasn't in a very good part of town. I thought it was a normal mugging, but now..."
"I'm Peter," the man on my right said simply. "Worked at Best Buy as a manager for years. I was going to retire next week." There was silence after that. Peter and I, we ignored Edwin's warnings and struggled against our chains. But nothing budged. We shouted for help next, shouted until our voices went hoarse. But even that didn't work. We were left in the silence and the darkness as the camera blinked on, and I was stuck with my thoughts as my only real company. I knew that no matter where we were or who brought us here, this could only end badly. I had worked past the initial shock and panic of when I first woke up, but now a new kind of fear worked its way through me. It was dread of what was coming, whatever that might be, and it was overwhelming. We waited for what felt like forever, Edwin and Peter occasionally trying to strike up small talk. But when you're strapped down in a foreign place with two strangers beside you, you don't tend to feel like talking much. Their chit-chatting died down in an instant though, when something that sounded like some kind of ceremonial gong sounded out behind us. I jumped and whipped my head around. I couldn't turn that far to see, but I caught a glimpse of Edwin trying to do the same. "What the hell was that?" he shouted. "Who the hell's out there, huh? Show yourself." The next sound that came wasn't one that we expected. It could only be described like 100 tiny feet scrambling over cobblestone. And although it started quiet, it grew and grew and grew until it was almost deafening in volume. We thrashed against our bonds futilely in panic, but there was no escaping. Then, out of nowhere, a woman's voice came into the room through some kind of hidden loudspeaker. "Ladies and gentlemen, get ready for tonight's main event. The game's about to begin. So please, place your final bets." The next sound came from my immediate right, and it was the sound of screaming. I whipped my head around frantically, but what I saw made me want to shut my eyes in revulsion. There were things all over Peter. They looked like a cross between a slug and a spider, maybe 4 or 5 inches in length, with half a dozen thin, scaly legs protruding from their black, oozing bodies. They weren't doing anything to him as far as I could see, but there were dozens of them crawling onto him and tracking their way across his bare skin. He writhed underneath his chains, but he couldn't move enough to shake them off. I could only watch as he was slowly covered by the things. That was when they went for his eyes. Two of them scrambled across his neck and he whipped his head from side to side, trying to throw them off. I was yelling. Edwin was screaming words in Spanish I couldn't understand, and Peter was screaming in pure, unadulterated terror. His face was towards me for a moment, and I caught his look of panic, a look of a man who knew he's already dead. As I watched, one of the creature's heads extended a thick, long appendage from what appeared to be its mouth, and it hovered over Peter's face for a moment as the man froze, suddenly not daring to move a muscle. The appendage was like a tongue, long and spongy and round, but serrated into 1,000 tiny teeth at the end. In an instant, the creature sunk the appendage into Peter's eye with a sickening squelch, and blood sprayed everywhere. Peter erupted in fresh screams of agony, and the creature dug its tongue deeper as he screamed. Blood splashed out, and I felt warm droplets spray across my face as the tongue pulsed and writhed as it sucked from Peter's screaming face, and 3 more of the creatures crawled up to join it. I couldn't stop looking, no matter how much my mind willed my body to turn away. More of the creatures sunk their tongues into his eyes as he roared in pain, and no matter how much he thrashed, they didn't fall off. Their legs sunk into his skin like knives, keeping them rooted in place as they drained the soft food from his face. And when that was over, he was still screaming all the way until the first few forced their legs into his mouth and disappeared down his throat. Then his screams were replaced by sickening, throaty gargles as blood dripped from his mouth, and then he made no more sounds. Soon, all of the creatures had followed into his throat and disappeared into his still warm corpse. That was when I was finally able to pull my eyes away in revulsion. Edwin was crying out beside me, repeating the words, "Oh God, oh God, oh my God," over and over again. But I don't think God could hear us. I didn't do much of anything. My brain wasn't processing what I just saw. I just lay there as I listened to the soft scraping noises coming from the direction of Peter's body as the things fed from the inside out. I don't know how long had passed until we heard the next clang of the gong. I turned to look at Edwin, and his eyes had just as much fear as Peter's had. He had tears in his, and as I stared at him, those tears welled up and spilled out onto the damp floor beneath him. "I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Colton, oh God, I don't want to die. We'll be okay," I whispered. But I was so ashamed of the obvious lie that I didn't even speak it loud enough for him to hear. The creatures were already coming, their razor-sharp legs scratching on the floor as they raced towards their next meal. I could feel tears dripping down my own cheeks as I listened to them growing closer and closer, and I knew in that moment that we would both die like Peter, eaten from the inside out as we could feel the things devouring us alive. I shut my eyes this time as they swarmed towards us, expecting to feel those insect-like legs crawling across my skin. But nothing happened. Instead, my ears were assaulted by the tortured shrieks of Edwin beside me. I squeezed my eyes together tighter as the screams grew and grew, hearing the pain and suffering inside them until they were ultimately cut short in a pathetic, desperate choking that faded out to silence. And then, I was alone, surrounded by corpses on either side of me. I couldn't hold back the tears, and it was like the dam had been broken. I bawled my eyes out on the floor as the creatures feasted next to me, and I could do absolutely nothing. I couldn't escape, I couldn't fight. I knew I was next, and I was petrified. When I finally opened my eyes, I messed my pants. I was facing Peter when I opened them, and I found myself staring right into the eyes of one of the creatures. It was covered in red, and I assumed it had crawled up and out of the man beside me, and my breath caught in my throat. I could feel my heart racing as I stared into the eyeless, toothy abomination before me, and I suddenly felt so small and so insignificant and so very mortal. Then it shot out its tongue into my left eye. While I was little, I once burned my hand on the open flame of our stove. The pain I felt when the tongue ripped into my eye was like that, times 100. Pure, agonizing pain shot through me, a throbbing, excruciating burning that spread throughout my skull. I think I was screaming then, but I couldn't tell. I wasn't aware of anything except the pain. Then, mercifully, my mind was overloaded and everything went black. When my consciousness returned, the first thing I was aware of was the pain. It had faded away to the side, but still burned just as bright. My whole face throbbed, and when I tried to open my eyes, I only felt one open in response. My vision was blurred and hazy, but strangely enough, I still had vision. I was still alive somehow, and that realization surprised me. I turned my head cautiously around, hyper aware of the ache that still throbbed in my eye, but I saw no sign of the creature that had impaled me. I was confused. I was dazed. I could barely think straight. I think I was still in shock. And then, just like that, my chains went loose with a click. Immediately, that same cold female voice filled the room again and said,
Congratulations, you have survived the game. The bets against you were 89 to 11. You are now free to go and live your life. I couldn't believe it. For a few minutes, I didn't believe it. Then it sunk in that the chains had been released from whatever clamps had held them in place, and I reached up with shaky hands to pull them off. I managed to throw them to the ground and pull myself up to my feet, but I felt dizzy. Everything was dark, and I could barely stand. I turned to look back, and I saw the bodies of Edwin and Peter still lying there, chained to the floor, in pools of their own blood. There was blood where I had been lying too, but I couldn't see farther than where we were. It was too dark to see the end of the room, but I didn't want to. I didn't want to see where those monsters had come from and where they had gone. Instead, I turned back the way I had been facing and limped towards the shadows, and after a few moments, the shadows peeled back to reveal a stained, dirty wall with a narrow passage cut into it. I looked back at the bodies at the far end of the room, but there was nothing I could do for them. My mind had gone blank, and I left them there as I limped forward and out of the chamber. We really were in a sewer, as it turned out, and the way out of the room we had been kept in was a twisting maze of damp, dark tunnels. I probably would have still been down there, trapped in the darkness, if I hadn't stumbled into a search party by pure dumb luck. I was almost about to collapse in exhaustion after hours of wandering blindly when I heard voices shouting in the corridors, and I managed to weakly call back to them. A police officer found me slumped up against the wall, and I wasn't even able to speak. He called back behind him, and I saw other figures rushing forward to help me, but I blacked out again. This time, I think it might have been from the blood loss instead of shock. I woke up next in a hospital, and the pain in my eye had almost completely faded. Everything felt like a blurry, bad dream, but the soft ache from where my eye had been was a reminder that it was very much real. The doctor told me I had completely lost my sight in the eye, that they had to do emergency surgery to remove what was left. Apparently, there had been a search party in the sewers for a local girl who had disappeared, and the police had found me just in time. They said it must have been rats that took out my eye, that my story was dreamt up by the pain. I told them that if they could find the other bodies, then they'd know it was real. But they looked at me like I was crazy. They said they had combed every inch of that sewer, and the only other body they'd found was a 6-year-old who had somehow gotten down there and drowned in the drainage pool. But I'm not crazy. I know what I saw, even if I don't know what it was that I saw. I don't know who did this to me or why, but I know that Edwin and Peter didn't die for nothing. Even if no one here believes me either, I'll find the people who did this. I'll find the game.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.